I was born around the Appalachian Mountain area. After I left school, I moved around a lot. A great deal happened in my life in the past 5 years. Recently, I had gotten a call that my uncle passed away. A simple cabin hidden deep within the woods and a truck was all that had been left of his life. After everything, I decided spending some time at the cabin would be a good idea. The cabin looked a bit on the rougher side when I arrived. My uncle hurt his back and wasn't able to do most of the upkeep for a while. I hadn't been there for years, and it took some time to figure out what I was going to do. After 2 weeks, I got the small cabin back in shape. Since I wasn't in a rush to leave, I bought more supplies to stay a little bit longer. It felt odd not having a schedule. For so long, my life didn't change from day to day. I was stuck doing the same things at the same time to keep the bills paid. And in an instant, that all changed. Gray, threatening clouds started to roll in while I was fishing. I checked my phone trying to see what the weather would be like for the rest of the night. It didn't work half the time because I was so deep in the woods. It took 5 minutes for it to load up the information about a nasty storm. Packing up quickly, I booked it back to the cabin. That old building better hold against what was coming. It grew so dark I needed to turn on a lantern in the middle of the day. I made a note on how many unread books I had and that I needed to pick up some new ones when I was in town next. As I cooked an early dinner, the rain started to come down hard. The wind blew, rattling the windows. Thunder rumbled so hard I felt it in the floorboards. This was a night to stay inside and under some blankets. More lightning flashed, and I glanced outside at the right time. If I had been a second too late, I may have missed something that would have changed my life. A person was limping along outside, fighting the storm. I rushed to grab my jacket and get my shoes on. The instant I opened the door, I became soaked. It was nearly impossible to see with the rain pouring into my eyes. By some miracle, I spotted the figure again. He looked so damn small out here beside the massive trees that made up the forest. Pushing on, I reached him through the rain. I shouted only to have my voice get carried away by the wind. He struggled a little as I guided him back to the cabin. But we finally got inside, drenched and shaking from the cold. For some reason, he was dressed in a simple robe that appeared to be made of a natural material. He looked young, maybe 16. I fetched a blanket off of the couch to wrap it around him. The poor kid shook so hard his teeth chattered. "Where did you come from?" I asked him. His lips pressed tight into a tight line. He refused to say anything. I carefully guided him another step inside, and his legs gave out from under him. A puddle of water formed from the rain dropping off us. The water looked too dark in the dim light. I soon discovered a fresh, nasty gash on his leg. Since he was so thin, I lifted him to carry him over to the couch. I did try calling for help, but my phone didn't connect. Then I did my best to treat the wound with the supplies I had. Where did he come from? Was there a weird cult in the middle of the woods? It wasn't as if that sort of thing hadn't happened before. From how rattled he looked, I decided not to press him for answers. "Stay here for the night. If it makes you uncomfortable, I could sleep in the truck," I said after I wrapped his leg. I stood up and his hand flew out to take mine. He shook his head but hadn't spoken yet. gray eyes begged me not to go outside again. I promised I wouldn't leave him. He needed some dry clothing. Some oversized sweaters and sweatpants would need to be good for now. I didn't sleep well that night. The cabin had been three rooms, a main room, a bedroom, and a bathroom. I let him sleep in the bedroom as I took the couch. Ideas of where that kid came from and what had happened rolled around in my brain all night. I couldn't get any answers until he decided to tell me. The storm finally died down before dawn. I passed out for a few hours, feeling more tired after I woke up. The first thing I did was knock on the bedroom door to see how he was doing. When no answer came, I opened it a crack. The bed appeared slept in, but empty. He wasn't in the bathroom, so did he run off? Fear raced through my stomach until I opened the cabin door to see the boy from the night before outside stretching. At least his leg looked to be all right. "How are you feeling?" I asked, not expecting to get an answer. "Better," he responded in a deeper voice that didn't match his face. "Did you want to head in the town for a real doctor to look over your leg?" I said, and he shook his head. "No, it'll heal on its own. The cut looked worse than it is." He pulled up the pant leg to show off the long cut along his leg. I must have been seeing things last night. I could have sworn that it was twice as long a few hours before. "What's your name? I'm Dean." Again, I wasn't expecting him to answer, and yet he did. "I'm Hemlock." Yeah, with a name like that, he was totally a part of some weird cult that lived in the woods. Would I need to kidnap a random kid to get away from an abusive family? "Do you live out here?" I said, a bit suspicious. "Yes. I'm part of a small family that has lived in the mountains for years. There are a few different families around here. A fight broke out and, well, that's how my leg was hurt. I'm sure the issue has been resolved." I crossed my arms, not liking what I was hearing. My uncle never said anything about other people living nearby his cabin. "How far out were they? How many people?" I know it wasn't my place to look down on how people live just because it was different, but I worried about any issues that kind of lifestyle may bring. "You don't have like a main leader claiming the end of the world is going to happen and then takes like 10 wives, right?" I suggested, hoping being so upfront wouldn't scare him away. The kid laughed, which put me a bit more at ease. "Who would even need 10 wives? Isn't one when you're ready enough?" At least that reaction made me think there was a chance Hemlock was doing all right living in the woods. Then again, his name was Hemlock. Unless I saw how he was living, I couldn't be certain he was safe or not. I nudged at the dirt, wondering if it was my place to stick my nose into his business. "Where do you live? When your leg is a little bit better, can I drive you there?" I nodded towards the rusted truck that my uncle left. Hemlock chewed on his cheek, unsure of my offer. He shook his head, trying to think of a polite way to refuse. "We would need the walk. It's too far into the forest and there are no roads. I'll be fine to return on my own. I would like to do something to repay you for your help." I shook my head, but it didn't look as if he was going to accept the lack of repayment. I thought for a minute, wondering if there was anything I could ask him to do. "Let's go fishing today." It was an easy chore that would keep him off of his injured leg. I had two rods, so we didn't need the share. After collecting the gear, We walked down to the lake as a chilly wind blew. It cooled down a lot from the rain. The path had become so muddy I was having issues getting my boots stuck. Hemlock walked barefoot. Even with an injured leg, he didn't have any issues not sinking into the muck. We found a good spot by the lake to get set up. I needed to show him how to bait and hook and explain what the bobber and weight did. Apparently, his family just caught fish with their bare hands. He was going to do the same, but I told him it wasn't a good idea to get in the lake water with his open wound. I wanted to talk a little bit, but found it hard to get a conversation going. How old are you? Like, high school age? When he gave me a blank stare, I elaborated. 16? Younger? I'm an adult, he said, sounding offended. Not to me. We got distracted by a bite from a fish. It turned out to be too small, so I tossed it back. I caught Hemlock watching me as if he wanted to ask a question. When he noticed he had been caught, he opened up about what was on his mind. Only parents think I'm younger than I am, and you seem very protective of me. Do you have any children? He cautiously asked. A son a few years younger than you. Hemlock's face lit up. He half expected to see another kid his age appear at any moment. I bet he easily made friends. Will he be spending any time at your cabin? No, he's with his mother. I replied, hating how cold my tone sounded. Hemlock knew to drop the subject and felt awkward bringing the whole thing up. He made things better between us by snatching a fish who had foolishly gotten too close to the edge of the lake. By lunchtime, we had enough fish for dinner. I had caught two while Hemlock caught six by baiting the water and grabbing victims before they knew what was coming. I insisted he stayed for dinner. It seemed like he was ready to run off at any moment. I offered to cook while he cleaned up. The smell of the lake clung to his clothing, which he hadn't noticed. The cabin had its water system. I wouldn't have been able to stay out here for as long as I had without hot water. I showed Hemlock how the shower worked, but said he could also have a bath if he preferred. I cleaned and deep-fried the fish along with a few side dishes from whatever canned goods I had around. My guest came out of the bathroom dressed in more borrowed clothing, his cheeks still red from the hot water. The soap smelled too strong for me to use. Hot water is such a nice treat. It's such a hassle building a fire to warm up the water that we don't bother doing it very often. My eyes narrowed at him after I set down a plate of hot food. Was it healthy to take cold baths all the time? Maybe I did need to see what kind of place he was living in. Hemlock dug into his food, unaware of what he had just admitted. For a small guy, he ate a lot. Having a full stomach in a bath knocked him out. I cleaned the dishes as he slowly drifted off on the couch, promising to get up soon to help me clean up. I had planned on letting him sleep through the night and then making sure he got home safely the next morning. Sometimes things just don't work out the way you want them to. It had gotten dark when Hemlock started to stir in his sleep. A noise came from outside. It was as if someone was walking just in front of the cabin. There shouldn't be anyone around in the dark. I grabbed the rifle next to the door and stopped to listen. The gun had belonged to my uncle, and I hadn't fired it before. I knew it was loaded from when he had been alive, but I hadn't found any spare ammo in the cabin. A soft knock came. I tensed as I started to reach for the doorknob, the gun in my other hand. If the person wanted to cause trouble, I was positive I could deal with it. "Don't," Hemlock shouted from the couch. I just turned the doorknob when he spoke up. The wooden door exploded inwards, knocking my body a few feet back. My entire body hurt as stars danced through the darkness. My head slammed against the wooden floor, stunning me for a full minute. I climbed out from under the door, rifle still in hand, but my body refused to stand. Two strangers stood inside the cabin. They were dressed in sewn together dirty rags. Their bodies were tall and bone thin. One had a hand with long fingers wrapped around Hemlock's arm to start dragging him towards the open doorway. "Let go of him," I said through gritted teeth and raised the rifle. The one man turned his head to show a long grin. His mouth appeared unnaturally thin. His dark eyes were set into a skull-like face. "Oh, how cute. Let's take this one, too," he said in a raspy voice.
"No, you know the deal. We don't involve outsiders," Hemlock nearly begged.
The man fully turned around to face me, his movements stiff as if a corpse had started to walk. "He sheltered you. He is no longer an outsider," the stranger pointed out. I don't care what they were talking about. I just needed to get these two the hell out of my cabin.
"He has a family. If he goes missing..."
Again, Hemlock was on my side. Both of the men laughed. The sound chilled my spine and caused fear to run through my body. The taller of the two of them looked over me. The dark eyes see something no human should be able to.
"No, he doesn't."
The shorter one spoke in such a wispy tone I could barely understand the words. Then he spoke clearly, but not in his voice. No, the voice of my wife came from him.
"I'm going to my sister's for the weekend. I'm taking Pumpkin with me. Call me when you're done with work."
That was what she said in her last voicemail to me. How did they know that? How did they somehow get to my phone while I was at the cabin to hear it? When the taller one spoke, it said something no one should ever know.
"Mama's gonna take me for some driving practice after school. We might be..."
I pulled the trigger before he finished speaking. I couldn't bear to hear my son's voice coming from the creature's mouth. My hands trembled too much for the shot to hit. I couldn't even focus enough to see if I could use the gun again. My stomach turned from guilt and rage. How did they know what to say? And how did they sound exactly like people they shouldn't have ever met before? Both cackled, enjoying my pain as Hemlock's face fell. A clawed hand reached around to take his face under his chin to painfully lift him upwards.
"Look at what you did. You let a human get involved with us. Now we must eat him. Not only that, but you got your silly father killed by attacking us first."
His eyes widened, unaware of if the creature was lying about his father's death. I looked around trying to see if there was a weapon I could use. The rifle was useless aside from being a blunt object. I needed to get us the hell out of here. I no longer cared about who these two were. The important thing was how to get away.
"You're lying. You attacked us. We only defended ourselves. Our tribe has abided by the agreement since it was made. Why would we ever go against it?"
He protested, sounding like the scared kid he looked like. "
After you're dead, it'll be our word as proof.
The winter was very hard on us. I fear the next one shall kill more of our kind. So be a good little boy, and don't fight in the same way your father did. We don't want to damage such a nice coat a second time. That was enough to get Hemlock to fight back. A set of fangs appeared in his mouth as a deep growl rumbled through the cabin. He bit down hard on the hand that had held his chin. While those three were distracted, I rushed over to the other side of the room to grab the longest knife I could find. The taller man closed the distance between us in three steps. I turned on my heel to plunge the knife right into his body. To my sheer horror, it didn't even slow him down. His long fingers easily tore through my shirt to dig into my stomach. Pain rippled through my body as I struggled to keep a scream down. I found another knife to try and stab into its eyes. I missed and I hit its neck instead. The blade poked out clear through the other side with black blood pooling from the wound. The creature's eyes grew darker and mouth widened to his ears. With ease, he tore open my flesh, his hand reaching inside to grab whatever it could. I screamed then, unable to deal with the pain and horror of the situation. For a moment, I thought I was going to die from this thing ripping out my guts. Another scream came from the cabin, but it wasn't from me. The other creature started running towards the door with black blood spilling from where its arm should be. He was tackled to the ground as sharp teeth found his neck. Within seconds, the other beast that appeared inside the cabin had ripped the creature's head off, getting the attention of the one who still had a dirty hand in my stomach. The taller monster appeared scared for the first time. We were both staring at the massive gray wolf devouring a thin body. It lifted a large head, then angry gray eyes landed on the next target. The tall man darted away, trying to run from the couch and behind the wolf. Within a second, the wolf changed to more of a human appearance. It stood on two legs with a human upper body covered its fur. It caught the skinny monster with a powerful hand and easily ripped off the arm it took hold of. The creature screamed as it also changed, trying to fight back. The head was nothing more than a mouth ready to bite down on anything in its way. But the thin monster was outmatched. It was taken apart in seconds by the larger wolf that covered the inside of the cabin with its dark blood. I was fading at that point. I fell to the ground. The pain eased into a comfortable numbness. If Hemlock was all right, I knew it would be fine to accept my fate. All the fear I'd felt slowly started to drain away. Someone had lifted me off the ground, and I faintly heard a voice calling out my name. I forced my eyes open to see a blurry vision of the boy I'd found in the storm. His eyes were wet with tears. My brain didn't understand his words, but I knew he was asking something. I closed my eyes again, considering what I should do. A second ago, I was ready to go back to my wife and son. After seeing him, I knew I needed to stay for a little bit longer. Using the last of my strength, I agreed to what he asked. Then a set of teeth came down onto my shoulder, causing a new wave of hot pain to flash through my body. I fell into a deep sleep as something came flooding into my bloodstream. It was uncomfortable, and I feared what I would become when I woke up again. When I did wake up, I was in the bedroom of the cabin. My stomach and any other injuries were healed over as if they had never happened, aside from a set of scars showing a bite on my shoulder. I got up feeling oddly light. The sunlight appeared to be too bright, and the birds outside were far louder than I remember.
Someone had tried to clean the cabin. Dark blood still stained the wood, but the bodies had been removed. Hemlock waited for me outside, wearing more borrowed clothing, and appearing almost remorseful. "This wasn't your fault." I told him to make sure to get that out of the way first. "It was. I should have never entered the cabin with you. I believed in my father's strength and was positive he would win against our attackers. There were 10 of them. He stayed behind to let me get away." He sounded so guilty it hurt. "I know it hurts being left behind, but he was a good father. It's the parents' job to protect their kids. I didn't do that. I couldn't do anything for my son." Clearly, he disagreed and voiced that opinion by punching my arm. I rubbed the spot where he hit offended. "He was a good kid. I'm glad his father protected him, but I wish they could have stayed together. How am I even alive right now?" I asked, getting back to the important stuff. He looked guilty again and kicked at the dirt with bare feet. "Well, I turned you into one of us. I'm sorry, but it was the only way," he admitted. "I kind of figured it was something like that." "Now what? Am I going to turn into a wolf every full moon and devour backpackers?" He wrinkled his nose at the suggestion and shook his head. "No, it'll take a few days before you're even able to fully transform. With enough strength, you'll be able to do it any time that it's needed. I normally spend most of my time as a wolf, but there is a way to prevent that. If you drink a certain tea before you first change, the wolf inside you will be locked away forever." I crossed my arms, uncertain of how I felt about that. I could still leave these woods as a human to go about a normal life. Or I could become a wolf and discover a new life involving monsters made up of nightmares. What's stopping people from abusing this? Like cheating death by getting bitten any time before they're about to die, and drinking the tea to avoid the whole wolf thing? I wondered out loud. No one has survived by being bitten twice. And a bitten wolf has a shorter lifespan than a born wolf. You'll most likely live until you're about 40, so maybe about 5 more years. "Is that how old you think I am?" I said while uncrossing my arms, very peeved by the misjudgment. He looked very nervous about upsetting me, when I smiled and made him calm down. I thought over my choices again, really wondering if I could throw away being human. "What's up with those creatures? Are there a lot more of them?" Hemlock nodded, his face grim, thinking about what attacked us. "We're unsure about their numbers, but it feels as if more appear every summer. Attacks from them have become more common, even though we can't ever prove it. I fear another war will break out between us that will hurt humans that get caught in the middle." Hearing something like that would make someone want to never take another step inside the forest again. If I stayed, I would risk my already shortened life to get caught up in this inevitable war between monsters. "I guess you need one more wolf by your side. Give me 3 days to get some things in order." Since I didn't have any family left, it was easy to take care of things. I sold the higher cost items and then donated what I could. I kept some clothing and some savings. It felt oddly freeing to get rid of most of my worldly goods, knowing they would be far more useful to someone else. I met Hemlock back at the cabin, ready to start a different life. He said that his family didn't mind welcoming a newcomer into their ranks, but they thought that I should live at the cabin for a bit longer and slowly get introduced in their way of life. No matter how afraid the idea of more of those thin monsters made me, I decided to protect Hemlock in the same way his father had. After all, it's a parent's job to take care of their children.